Buenos dias. I was thrown off many times because of the different greetings they have there. When we were on the plane, a lot of the stewardesses would say, bienvenidos. And I figured out later that meant welcome. And I was like, well, maybe it's some kind of good greeting. So I started using it a couple times. It was kind of awkward later. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But buenos dias is good morning. Buenas tardes is good afternoon. Buenas noches is good evening or good night. And I was mixing them all up with different people. People you pass on the street, they say, buenos dias. And we always just say, like, hey, how you doing real quick? I was like, buenas noches. Oh, wrong one. Buenos dias. So it was interesting. It was a good trip. Some of you heard that we lost our luggage when we got there. They delayed our flight about 45 minutes in Norfolk before we went to Washington. And said there was some weather in the sky they wanted to wait for. Well, when we got to Washington, we got off the plane, went to the screen where they have all the flights just to see which one was ours, what gate we're supposed to be in. We're looking at the ticket that they gave us. It says, well, the screen says we're supposed to be at this gate. The ticket says we're supposed to be at this gate. There's no plane at either gate. Maybe we're early. Oh, that's good. So I went and talked to the guy at the counter, said, no, your plane's over at this gate. And we were the last ones on the plane. So we didn't know we were supposed to rush, but we got on the plane, got to Panama, and again, we went to look at the screen because we realized what happened at the last place. It says, last call for Bolivia, Santa Cruz. So we're like running through the airport, trying to get this all the way on the other side of the terminal. So that was fun. I was a little bit winded. I was carrying Olivia, carrying a couple baggages. Everybody had, their little stuff. And when we got to Santa Cruz, they had all the people go to this one area to get all the lines to do your check-in, check your passports and stuff. We're waiting on the one side. We were three people back. And we got up to the counter, and the lady says, you're supposed to be in that line over there. So there was three more people in that line, so we're waiting in the line, and everybody's going through one by one. We were the last ones in the airport. They didn't have any more flights for the rest of the evening coming in to Santa Cruz, and we were there for over 2 hours trying to get our visas. And when we went home, the guys, all the people went home because we were the last ones there. Said, finally, 1:30 in the morning, we can go home. So... And it was funny, some of the guys there, because they didn't have anything else to do, they were asking us how to say things in English. We were asking them how to say things in Spanish. And it was a good time. We got our luggage back 2 days later on a Monday. So we kind of washed our clothes and wore some of their clothes while we were there for a day. Thankfully, we're all pretty much the same size. And I noticed when we were coming home to their house from the airport, there was a lot of taxis on the road. And you realize when you go into Santa Cruz, it seems like there's more taxis than people driving regular cars. And you see the little green taxi word up in their window. Sometimes it's green, sometimes it's blue. But it seemed like there was more taxis than any other vehicle on the road. I guess a lot of people use the taxis. My brother-in-law has a truck. So we all piled in the back of the truck. And the kids enjoyed that because there was six of us in the back. And I was back there with them. So that made seven of us in the back of a truck. It was a 6-foot bed. And everybody else was inside. Which was kind of fun. You get kind of worn out sitting on the hard plastic all week long, but but the kids enjoy that. Christiana wanted to stay because she was able to ride in the back of the truck, and so they enjoyed meeting some of the locals they had a park right next door to the house, and you could walk down the street, and there's a park there. And they got to meet some of the kids in the neighborhood. One day, it was a friend of Jacob McKinney. He was out there teaching the little kids soccer. I guess they call it football. not our idea, not our word. But the kids were out there doing exercises, and then they were out there playing soccer, and you know, and then you always have this one that's like, I gotta use the bathroom. And it's like, well, there's a bathroom over there, but you gotta pay for it. And when you go in, you gotta pay for the toilet paper. And it says, let's go over to the house. It's down the street. So at that time, we were closer, so that worked out for us. So, and then one of the things that you're probably not used to is a lot of, because they have poor sewage systems, they don't allow you to use the toilet paper in the toilet. You gotta put it in a trash can next to the toilet. So anytime you use the restroom, your tissue paper goes in the toilet. I mean, in the trash can, not the toilet. So that was interesting also. Even in a lot of the restaurants, they had trash cans next to the toilet for that purpose. And the airport had trash cans next, even in Panama, when we went there, it's a different place, but they had trash cans next to the toilet. Don't put it in the toilet. Sunday we had church. And with the children, and they had about 10 kids from the neighborhood. So they had gone out and done some reach into the street that the church was on, and so they had about 10 kids that were coming on average. And they taught about creation that first Sunday we were there, and talked about how Christ had eventually come. He was the one to forgive us of our sin after Adam had caused everyone to be into sin. And it would have been a lot harder if he didn't have the picture book while he was doing the lesson, because it was all in Spanish. So we went through. Most of the kids have never been to school that were in the class because of their age. And the ones who had been to school hadn't been in about a year and a half because of COVID. So being inside of a somewhat school setting like Sunday school was a little bit difficult because the kids were rowdy. They were going in and out of the schoolroom throughout the class, and trying to get them to sit down a little bit, you know, made it a little difficult. And a lot of the kids that come to the school, a lot of times both of their parents work, so the kids are home alone most of the day. And usually the oldest child is the one who takes care of the younger children. They clean the house, they do the meals, they take care of the younger kids, and you know, do what's necessary. So you have that in their situation also, and kind of do what they want. There's no adult to tell them otherwise while the adults are at work. So it's a good opportunity for them to help them, you know, with a little bit of some stability, at least on one day a week, and be able to get them the gospel. So Jacob has been working with these kids for about 3 months from the other church that he was helping out with. They started working with the kids. Right now he's at the, I think it's called Grace Baptist Church. Can't remember how to say it in Spanish. And he's with Pastor Raul. And it was kind of interesting after the Sunday morning service. Like I said, I had trouble with the different greetings. He was coming up to me to welcome me to the church. And I said, Bienvenidos. And I was welcoming him. And he's coming up to welcome me. And he's like, you could tell he had this awkward look on his face. And he looked over at Jacob, and he's like, oh, he said something in Spanish, and then he started laughing at me. But There was one thing you notice, I noticed in Bolivia, is they have a lot of walls around places. The church had walls. The houses that you pass have walls. They have gates. You know, they're usually 8 feet high. All the windows are barred. The house we were staying in with Jacob and Shara has an 8-foot concrete wall around it with big wooden sliding doors, and all their windows and stuff are barred. Businesses have gates, barred windows. If they don't have that, they have the sliding gates that'll roll around in front of their business, because a lot of them are open air type buildings. So because they don't have air conditioning in a lot of places. So it's kind of interesting to see all the security type features that they have. You wouldn't see that here. And got to try different types of food while we were there. I think it was the first morning we were there, we ordered saltinas. Anybody had saltinas before? No? All right, I'm the only one. It looks kind of like the shape of a taco, but it's all enclosed. And it has like a sweet type of gravy in it, and you can get it chicken or beef. And it was very good. It was a breakfast food that they have there. It was different. Some of the kids weren't too thrilled with it because it was meat inside of their breakfast. but we ordered it two different days while we were there for breakfast. And we tried different restaurants as we went around visiting different sites and things like that throughout the week. And tried different foods. They have this one called yucca. I guess we might call it yucca. The yucca plant, the yucca root, yucca. They call it yucca. Yucca, yeah. It's just pronunciation is different. Even if it's the same, spelled exactly the same in English, they pronounce it differently because it's Spanish. but they peel off the exterior of the root because it's poisonous, and you eat the inside after it's been cooked. And it tastes kind of like a potato. So, and then you use a dip and stuff if you want to do that. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know if I was poisoned by that or not. Everybody else seemed to be eating it. we got to visit one of the Catholic churches that were there in the plaza. It's this big block building, and they had the open door. So we went inside. Of course, a lot of the older buildings like that, they're very beautiful inside with the architecture. But they had people in there who were worshiping old saints, Jesus on a statue, Mary. They had pictures where people would offer their incense and their candles and offer up prayers. And they were doing that while we were walking around in there. I took a few pictures just so I could see the building and stuff like that. But it's, you know, people are worshiping these things. They're praying, whether it's Mary for intercession or, you know, worshiping the previous saints that had gone on. It was sad to see the darkness in a lot of the city and the statues that they would erect in different places. They would have places in some of the cities where they'd have Mary statue that's like 30 feet tall on one side of the city and Jesus statue on the other side of the city as you're leaving town. So you got on both sides. Maybe they say if you're inside of Jesus and Mary, you're protected. Maybe it was their idea. I'm not sure. But a lot of times the big statues would be a meeting place for political gatherings or religious gatherings. I hear sometimes the Pope comes to Santa Cruz and he would come and stand on this platform in front of the, I can't remember if it was a Jesus or a Mary statue, right in the biggest part of the city. And recently I heard they had about 200,000 people around this statue where it was a political gathering. sometimes the Pope will come there and they would come and see him, and they'd have large gatherings in that sense. While we were in the plaza, the kids got to feed pigeons, which is something we've never done before. And get to feed them out of your hand. And they were chasing them around the plaza. One of the guards that was in the plaza, he came up to us as we were leaving. He says, "Can I take a picture with your children?" You know, in America, you would say, "No, you will not take a picture with my children," because that's strange. That's weird. But in Bolivia, one thing you notice is everybody has black hair. They have darker skin. And to see 8 golden-haired children is unique. So so he's like, "Can I take a picture with your children?" So we said, "Okay, you can have a picture with them." So we got all the children around him, and the guard took a picture. We snapped a picture with them. And then when we were leaving in the truck, I saw him over talking to some other guards. He had his phone out, you know, showing them the pictures. "I got a picture with the golden-haired children." Just about every day, there was somebody who would say something about their hair, or they would, you know, give you a look. It's like, that's different. So you knew something was going on. And it's because, you know, lighter-haired people are not as common in that country. And everybody has black hair. One of the things that they do every year is Dia de los Natitas. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the last word correctly, but it's called the Day of the Skulls, usually done at Halloween. And it is a celebration of the dead. And they'll use real skeletons. They'll give food to the deceased ones that were in their family. Lay them out on a table with candles and flowers and pictures of the deceased, and offer prayers and decorations and trinkets in exchange for good luck from beyond the grave. So that's what a lot of the people do every year, and it's something that Jacob and Shara will have to face every year as they minister to the people there. You know, and if a Bolivian gets saved, how are they going to respond then to this tradition of celebrating the dead and offering prayers and hoping for good luck and stuff like that? So it's something he described to me a little bit. They didn't get to do it a lot last year because of COVID, but he says, "I expect this year will be a lot bigger." So last year the government tried to stop them from doing it, even though a lot of people still did it. As far as getting out and doing their celebration type stuff. We went to different open markets, which is a lot different than I've been here. I guess it'd be kind of similar to a flea market, but people sell all kinds of stuff. It'd be meat hanging up from the racks. You have someone selling fruits and vegetables on their stand. You have people selling movies or bread or you know, anything that they want to sell in the open market. You could buy it there. One day we went and bought birthday decorations because Naomi had her birthday while we were there. So, and again, they have all the gates and the garage doors to keep everybody out so they don't take their stuff. And a lot of times the people, when they go to the open markets, the busiest time would be on Sunday morning, because they work 6 days a week most of the time, and Sunday's their day off. And when you go to the market, you want to go in the morning because that's when everything's fresh. Your meat's hanging up out in the open. You don't want meat that's been hanging up all day long. So they go in the morning. They get their bread that's made in the morning from the open market. And their fruits and stuff that's not been covered with flies or whatever. Some of the open market was inside, so I don't know about how much the flies bothered them. I'm sure they still had some. But it was very different. And it says, and one of the things Jacob was talking to me about was, because people go on Sunday morning to do a lot of their shopping as their only day off, you know, when you're trying to do church on Sunday morning, it's kind of hard to have people come because that's the only time I can go shopping. So one thing he was thinking about was maybe have the main service in the evening and do something a little smaller, like we would do a Sunday night service in the morning. You know, kind of switch it up a little bit. You know, so he's thinking about trying something like that with the pastor that's there right now, Pastor Raul. I got to do some sandboarding while we were there, and the only sand dune in Bolivia. you go out into the middle of nowhere, and there's this huge sand dune. It's probably, I want to say maybe 200 feet high. It's huge. It's way bigger than the ones in Kitty Hawk. And there's two of them, but this one was the biggest one we went on. There was one next to this one. And they said nobody knows where the sand came from. And you can get up to the top of the sand dune. There's mountains all around. There's trees and grass and stuff. And then you got all this pure type sand just piled up in this one spot. It's kind of interesting to go out and see. But we rented some boards and had all the kids running down the sand dune. Three of the kids, they were the fastest out of the whole group. And they went all the way down to the bottom and over the road and jumped up 6 inches, hit another bump, jumped up 8 inches, and then they got hurt. one of their cousins, he's like, I'm done. And I say, come on. And you see him up there, he's walking, little waddle. He hurt his tailbone a little bit. But they had a good time. And there are many children I saw as we would go out and travel, they would be selling on the corners. Pretty much any stoplight that you would be at, there would be somebody either trying to wash your window, sell you some kind of product, or they do kind of acrobatic type stuff in front of your car and then expect you to pay money for their act. So Jacob said he's seen a lot of interesting things. Said he's seen one guy with a ladder one time, juggling and hula hooping on his leg and balancing stuff on his head, and he's walking with the ladder while he's doing all this, and then he wants the money when he's done. Ah, you pay me. And if you're not careful, when they come up to you with the windshield wash, which is basically water in a squirt bottle, if you're not paying attention, they'll come and squirt your window, even if you don't want it, and they'll wash your window, and then they hold out their hand for the money to pay. Some people who get agitated turn on their windshield wipers. I told you no. But like I said, a lot of times they'd see children working at these corners, you know, whether they're homeless or they're trying to earn a little extra money as their parents are at work. And you'd see kids doing all kinds of stuff around the city. And Jacob and Shara had put together with the last church, I believe they were with, a lot of bags that had a few care items in them, some snacks, and John and Romans and the gospel and stuff like that. And they had some, they would keep them in their glove box. So when they see children and different people who are on the street, they would offer them the bag so they could at least give them the gospel while they're waiting at the stoplight, because you don't have a lot of time to talk to them. So I thought that was an interesting way to do it too, rather than just handing them a tract and you hand them, because a lot of these people do have need physically, so they try to give them a little bit of something while they're passing by. And we went to Jacob and I went to a church on Thursday night and got to minister to the Bolivian people there. On the way, we had a few detours. It's like a 2-hour trip to the church. And they were working on the road in several spots, so we had to detour like 3 or 4 times. Went through a couple different towns just to do some sightseeing, since we had to go out of the way anyway, just so I could see what it was like there. We had to drive out of Santa Cruz, obviously, go through different checkpoints called troncas. And one of them, they were pulling people off to the side to do checks on the people that were driving. And the person in front of us was on a motorcycle, and they pulled him over, and it was the last tronca worker there. So we were able to go through without being pulled over and checked. And being Americans, they'd probably try to find something else to keep us there, or you pay me a little money, and then I'll let you go. But on the way, after some of the detours, we were on this newer road because they were doing road construction most of the way. We were on the trip to the church. And this one guy, he's coming the opposite direction. He's flashing his lights at us. I was like, are you like bright lights on? He said, no. I said, well, maybe he thinks they're on, because he did have a little bit brighter light than most of the people. Had the older incandescent yellow color. So I say, he flashed his lights, and he flashed them twice. Psh, psh. I said, he flashed them twice. And he flashed them three times. Psh, psh, psh. I said, he flashed them three times. I don't know what's going on. Why is he doing this? About a minute later, we're driving, and it's like pitch black out there because it had clouds. You can't see the moon or the stars. There's no street lights. It's just your vehicle lights, and that's it. This huge dirt pile is in the middle of the road. This is the end of the road. And if we weren't paying attention, we would have ran right over that thing. It was probably like 12-foot high dirt pile. So we realized what he was flashing his lights for. thankfully, the Lord kept us the whole time we were on the way. We went to see a little town in the church, where the church was that we were going to. See some of the community there. You see some of the grass-roofed houses. Some of the different architecture that they use in that smaller community. And I was asking Jacob, I said, do you have to worry about animals on the road here? I said, you know, back home we have the deer and sometimes occasional bear, you know, that cross the road. And he said, yeah, we worry about ox. Because the animals a lot of times roam free there. They don't have a lot of fences to keep their animals in. But on the way back to the church, we were coming around one curve, and this ox was coming the opposite direction right towards us. We had to swerve to get around it because he was in a blind curve. So it's several times we had encountered close calls. And just driving around Santa Cruz is nerve-wracking enough because they don't have stop signs. So when you come up to a road, you kind of force your way in, and the other person just stops or slows down. If you don't, then the people behind you are honking, and nobody's stopping to let you in. You just kind of go. So, and everybody's close calls, you know, as far as their position behind you or beside you. People are weaving in and out of traffic. It's kind of like you come up to a four-way stop. You know, you have certain rules here where this person goes and then this person can go. Well, they don't have that, so it's just kind of free for all, but they kind of understand from being there what order they like to do it in. So driving around is very nervous, and I'm in the back of the truck with all the children, and I was like, Lord, keep us safe. And they do have accidents. We heard of a couple while we were there. So if you have a three-lane road or two-lane road, it has three lanes of driving on it because people will squeeze in that much on the road. Inside the city, you have what we would consider two lanes. They have three lanes. So it's very tight. I hear it's that way in Mexico too, but it's even tighter. They have two lanes, you have four lanes. So it's different everywhere you go. A lot of the roads didn't even have lines on them. You know, it's just because people make up their own lanes anyway. A couple other things I saw while we were there was dealing with the animals. I said a lot of times they don't have fences and stuff. We were going to a park one day, and I saw these horses on the side of the road. And later Jacob tells me, did you see the rope around their front legs? They tie the front legs of the horses together so they can't run away. So they kind of do little tiptoes where they go. So I said, no, I didn't see the ropes. So I wasn't expecting ropes to be looking for that. One thing they have to do is, like I said, wash the vegetables that they eat because of the poor soil conditions, the contamination in their soil, their sewage. Many times, I guess if it's like sink water or something, they'll run it out into the street. So when you're driving down the road, you're constantly running through runoff from people's businesses or houses. And being in the back of the truck, you get the extra splatter from the road. And it's got that smell to it. It's like, oh. You know, after a while, even gray water smells. You imagine old sink water, breaking open one of those pee traps and smelling that. That's kind of what it smelled like on the street when you have the water on the road. I didn't realize this too. I know a lot of times you hear about missionaries that have a lot of expenses. I was listening to Jacob talk to me about one guy that he knew there as another missionary's son. He went to take the driver's license test, and it's very expensive to get the test, several hundred dollars. And he realized that he didn't want to pay any bribe money. He's like, I just don't want to do it. And so he said, when Jacob said when he went to take the test, he's like, I'm going to pass it because he's hearing all these things. I'm going to study it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to take it, give all the right answers. I'm going to pass it. He didn't pass it the first time. And he started looking around. He realized nobody passes the test the first time. Why? Well, you come back, you pay more money to take the test. And it helps them out. He said this guy he knew take the test, didn't want to pay the bribe money. He took the test four times, failed the test every time. He says, that's it. I'm not going to get my license. I say, it's just not going to happen. prayer request I mentioned, I guess it was the other week, Jacob's son has the birth certificate. It says there, his last name's McKinney. So between the C and the K for Kinney, there's a space on all of the Bolivian birth certificates. So they had to make them in Bolivia. From the American certificates. And on all of their certificates, they put a space in that, on all of them, but they picked out the oldest son and said, it's got a space, it's inconsistent with the birth certificate over here, so we can't give you your papers. So they've been dealing with that recently, months. But they went last week to go try to figure out more, which I don't think they really got too far with that. but they said they're going to try to renew everybody's paperwork when they get his done, so they can have them all done at the same time when they expire, because it's hard to have one that's not the same again. And it costs, I think it was around $6,000 to have all of this done for all of them. And then in 3 years, they're going to have it done again. And then in 5 years, they're going to have it done again. So it's very expensive. Even so, I don't realize some of the costs that go in there. It was very expensive for me to go to Bolivia with the tickets and the visas and, you know, paying this fee and that fee and stuff like that. And they live there, and they're still paying all of these things every so many years. just to stay there. Eventually, they're going to apply for residency, which they'll still have to pay a lot of out-of-pocket costs to do different things with their paperwork, but it'll be a little bit easier once they are residents of Bolivia. Friday, Jacob and I went to the open market, and we bought some 1¼-inch steel poles. And we put those together to make soccer goals for the kids at the church. So we put some pipes in the ground, and put the poles together and painted them and stuck them in the ground so they have kind of like a U-shape goal to kick through on both sides of the yard. And they're removable so they can put them inside the building so somebody doesn't come and take them from them or come in and hang on them and mess them up while they're not at the church. So it was kind of neat. We got to be there for the kids program they did on Saturday. And I got to teach a lesson on Sunday, which was my first time with a translator. You know, for the kids, I taught the lesson in English, and Jacob translated in Spanish, which was his first time translating. So it was the first time for both of us. Because he's still learning Spanish, so he struggles a little bit with, he's like, you gotta tell me what you're gonna say so I can think about it before we say it. And so when he gets nervous, I don't know if you, I'm telling on him now, he starts speaking faster. And he almost sounds like an auctioneer when he gets going. But it's funny listening to him. I say, sounds good to me, but maybe the Bolivians hear otherwise. the little pronunciations and stuff like that. And I was telling some of the kids, it's like it's something as simple as the word papa and papa. Remember talking about that last night? Papa is potato. Papa is father. So they're spelled the same, they're just said differently. The accent's on a different letter. So there's a lot of words like that in Spanish, and Jacob's found himself many times saying words as like, well, that's not the word I was looking for. And they would laugh at him in the audience, and it's like, this is what you wanted to say. I was like, okay, I'll try to remember that for next time. So they have a teacher that teaches them several hours every week, do a Spanish lesson, and she helps them around the house too, and they hire her a little bit to do some work so she can earn a little extra money. And she lives right down the street and watches another house for another couple who helps with the church when they were out of town. So God's been working a lot in the people. Like I said, when we went Friday to do the goals, we went out also that night and invited three other streets to come to the kids program on that Saturday. And we had probably had about 30 kids come the next day. And Jacob said there was a couple parents that dropped off kids. There was a couple parents that stayed during the whole program. He says, well, that's not very common for them to stay or even to drop off. Most of the time the kids just come from their house. So he said that was kind of good to see the parents. And that's what he's hoping to do through the kids, is to reach some of the parents. But it was a very encouraging trip, enlightening in a lot of different things, very different from the way we would do things here. But I can see how the Lord is using them and blessing them. And Jacob and Sharon them have plans and doing other things in the future. But like I said, one of the things they have to get straight right now is the paperwork. So if we could keep that in prayer also, so they can go to the next step. All right, so I guess we'll go ahead and pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for how you encourage and use us in different ways. I thank you for the trip we're able to go on. And I pray that you would help us to understand the needs of the people. Lord, as we hear about different cultures, Lord, they have ways that they do things. And Lord, may we be sensitive to their culture, that we do not offend them. I pray that you would help Jacob and Shara as well, as they learn how to do different things so they can minister to the people the way you want them to. And we thank you for the children that have come, and I pray for the parents also of these children, that you would work in their hearts that they may also be able to hear the gospel even through their children as they learn from the lessons and the sermons. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.